Baba Olore, Ili Ogo Yeho, Olorua, Uzanaya, Oye, Baba.
Faithfulness, for your loving kindness, for your goodness unto us, for joy that you have filled our hearts with, for the privilege, O Lord, to stand before you. Lord, we are grateful. Lord, we say thank you. Every member of Cedar Generation Gospel Outreach within and outside, we say, Lord, we are grateful. Thank you, Father. Thank you for preservation of our lives. Thank you for your goodness to every one of us, to our children, to our youth, to our daddies, to our mommies, to our loved ones, to our relations and relatives. We say thank you. Thank you for keeping us strong in you. Blessed be your holy name, in Jesus' name. And as we have come to your presence again this morning, we open up ourselves unto you. Lord, that which you have started right from the beginning of this service, O Lord, even at the workers' prayer meeting, Father, we pray, Lord, you are taking us to a place. And Father, we ask, O God, that, Lord, you will continue with us. You reveal your counsel unto us. You open our eyes of understanding. You enlighten our eyes of understanding. In the name of Jesus, we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. And so, Lord, every power that negotiates your words, every spirit that contend with the spirit of the living God in us, we hold them captive. We hold them captive. We destroy their cancer. We declare, Lord, that they shall not prosper. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, have your way. And let the name of the Father be glorified. Thank you, Father, for answer prayer. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. We can have our seats. Want to bless the name of the Lord for this privilege of standing before you. Want to thank God for the, it's a great privilege, and I'm not taking it for granted. I want to thank God. I want to appreciate the pastorate for the opportunity to stand, to share the word of God with us this morning. Brethren, I don't know if you are still trying to entertain any doubt or whichever one in your heart. I want you to put it aside. Because I know that the Lord wants to speak with us. The Lord wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to Cedar Generation Gospel Outreach, of whom you are a part. And so I want you to just submit everything into his hands. All the things that may be you are not, it's not clear to you, this and that, please kindly put them aside for now. And hear that which God wants to speak to us this morning. Media, I want you to please project Psalm 33 for us. Psalm 33, Amplified Bible, please. Amplified version. Psalm 33, we'll read from verse 1. Are we there? Are we together, media? Amplified. And while you are trying to get there, when Brother Paul came up this morning to share with us, I was like, my husband was looking at my eyes. I said, maybe Brother Paul is the one, I don't know. But that is just the Spirit of the living God. You know, it shows that the Spirit of God is in our midst. It shows that the Lord, you know, had something for us. At the time he opened up the book of Numbers, I was like, is it that Brother Paul wants to preach the message for this morning? But thank God that the Lord has enabled him to lay the foundation for us. But I want us to open up. And as the service continued, you know, we were talking about, the choir also came up talking about the faithfulness of the Lord to us. And I want to let you know that that is what the Lord planned for you and I. That is what the Lord planned for this assembly, for us to enjoy God's faithfulness. Perhaps there is a part of which you are not experiencing or enjoying the fullness of God's faithfulness. Let's read the word of the Lord. Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is becoming and appropriate for those who are upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to him with the harp of 10 strings. Verse 3. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud and joyful sound. And we hold on to this. Verse 4 of Psalm 33 says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in faithfulness. Brethren, no negotiation about this verse. No negotiation. The Bible says in verse 1 of the chapter, the chapter that we read, the purpose of the Lord, that is, you and I will rejoice. We rejoice. And what is it that will make us to rejoice? It is when we see the demonstration of the power of God in our lives and all around us. So it's like God determines that we will enjoy his faithfulness, we enjoy his workings in our lives. Don't, please, that verse 4 is what I want us to dwell on. But the faithfulness of the Lord standeth sure. But there are some things that are around our lives. There are so many things that are around the world. There are so many issues. There are so many matters. There are circumstances. But the Bible says, because it is the purpose and it is the will of God that we rejoice every time. And verse 4 of this Psalm 33 says, for the word of the Lord, the word that declares that we should rejoice, that word of God that was spoken through the Lord, that we should rejoice, O ye righteous. And we are standing upon the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord wants us to rejoice. And that word that declares it that we should rejoice, verse 4 says, that word that came out of the mouth of the Lord, that word that was spoken by the Lord, not by anyone. He said, that word of the Lord is right. He knows what fits us as his own children. He knows that when we rejoice, he knows that when we have the, you know, privilege, when we have the, you know, opportunity to rejoice, that we'll be able to flow with him. And that is his even purpose for us. And the Bible says, for the word of the Lord is right. and all his work is done in faithfulness. All the works of the Lord concerning your life, concerning my life, all the works of his creation. Concerning the righteous, they are done in faithfulness. Let's read verse 9 of this same psalm. Verse 9, media. For he spoke, and it was done. He spoke, he said, rejoice, O ye righteous. The Bible says, when he spoke, and it was done, he commanded, and it stood fast. So, what I want to bring out from this verse is that when the Lord has spoken, should anything, do you think, or do I think, that the God of heaven and the hearts, the God that holds the whole universe and everything therein in his hands, do you think there should be anything that will negate or that will be so powerful that should overcome the word of God? There shouldn't be. And there cannot be. And that is why the Bible says, for he spoke and it was done. When you go to the book of Genesis, in the course of declaration of the creation of the earth, let there be. And it was so. Let there be, light came. Let there be this, let there be that. It came. And they stood fast. So, how will now God speak to you and I, to our lives, to our destinies? And it will not stand. That is what I want us to consider this morning. How dare it be possible that when God declared at the beginning of the creation, let there be, and it came to pass. For the first day, for the second day, for the third day, for the fourth, fifth day, sixth day. And we, you and I, we are partakers, we are witnesses of all the things that the Lord, God of heaven and the heart, created. And there is no power that was able to overcome that which he created. Brethren, he spoke. I don't know the words that the Lord has spoken concerning your life that seems not standing. This morning, I don't want us to look at the devil. I don't want you to see the devil behind those things that you are thinking in your mind, that are going on in your mind. I don't want to just jump into conclusion that, oh, ishe ishu ni. Satani ni uje ki gbogbo e ko wa si imuse. I don't want you to see that way this morning. What I want to see, I want you to see the power that uphold the word of God, the power that sustain the word that the Lord that has spoken into our lives. And that is why I'm sharing with us this morning that God is not a man. God is not a man that he will lie. And those of us that were at the workers' prayer meeting, you can reconcile it together. When you go to Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. As he said it, what is it that the Lord has spoken concerning your life? As he said it, is there something that the Lord has spoken concerning your life and they are not manifesting? The Bible says, that verse 19 says, as he said it, and will he not do it? Or, as he spoken, and will he not make it good? He has all the sufficient power to make it good. He has all the powers in heaven and the heart to bring to pass that which he has spoken to you and I, that which he has declared concerning your future, that which he has declared concerning your work, that which he has declared concerning your career, that which he has declared concerning your marital life. He has all the sufficient power. That power is the one that has been keeping the whole universe, the heaven and the hearts, since all these years, thousands. And if that power is the one that has been sustaining the whole universe since all these times, how dare he was thinking that that word that the Lord has spoken to your life, to your destiny, that it cannot stand or cannot, that it cannot come to pass. He is not a man. God is not a man. It's not the man that will change. I will say, oh, it was like I was dreaming when I said it. No, that is not God. God is not a man. But if God is not a man, why is it that some things are not coming to pass then in our lives? How do we now trace failures that the righteous are experiencing? How do we now trace the insufficiency that the righteous are experiencing? How do we trace all the circumstances that are not pleasant that the righteous are experiencing? How do we trace them? Do we trace them back to the word of God? It cannot stand there. Because the Bible says in verse 9 of that Psalm 33, that said, for he spoke and it was done. So it means it cannot stand. Because failures and insufficiency and circumstances that arrange the lives of the righteous, that are not pleasant, that are not making the word of God to come to pass, cannot be traced back to God. If it cannot be traced back to God, then whom do we trace these things to? This one will now take me to where I want to continue from where Brother Paul stopped at the workers' prayer meeting. And I want us to look deeply into the book of Numbers. Let's open our Bible, or you follow it at the media. Numbers chapter 22. I'm going to dwell on the reading of the word and bring out some things from us there. So please, I want to beg you, let's be together as we. It's not Bible study, but you know, I have full confidence that God is about to do something, the life of one or two people or majority of us. Because when you, if you attended or you watch us online during the Bible study on Wednesday, we're confirming that when the Lord speaks, he brings power to pass his word. On Friday, at the point of the meeting, prayer, hour of encounter, we were told in the book of 2 Peter that when we have the knowledge of the God, he satisfies us with everything that pertains to life and godliness. So is it that the knowledge of the word is what we lack? And that is why today, God, we open your eyes, we open my eyes, so that I will know which area do I need to pay attention to, so that I enjoy that everything that pertains to life and godliness, so that the word of God stand and come to pass in my life. I read Numbers chapter 22. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. And that is what the enemy is supposed to be doing. When the enemy see the lives of the righteous, when the enemy see the workings of the Lord in the life of the righteous, and see the finger of the Lord, see the finger of the Lord in our life, see that thing that the Lord is doing in our life, the enemy is supposed to tremble. The enemy is supposed to tremble. Supposed to cite it that this is the hand of the Lord in the lives of this one. And like that, Moab, you know, Balak was not happy with what the Lord is doing in the life of the Israelites. And he decided to look for a way of terminating the purpose of God. And you know, that one negates the word that we read in the book of Psalm, that the works of the Lord, they are all done in faithfulness. That when he speaks, surely it will stand. And because it's not a man, that will say, no, I don't have the capability to do it again. I don't have the power to sustain what I've started again. Mm-mm, that is not God. Then something must be happening somewhere. Then look at verse 6. Therefore, you know, Balak now went ahead to invite Balaam, the prophet. Our brother told us so much about the story, but I want to bring out some certain things. He said, therefore, please come at once. Curse these people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps, and I love that word, perhaps, you know, another version says peradventure. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them. So he was not even sure. Are we together? He was not even sure. He did not even have the full confidence that he would be able to defeat the workings of the Lord in the life of the Israelites. Because he knew that something, that there is a finger was in their life, was in their midst. And that finger was the finger of the Lord. So when the enemy sends the finger of the Lord, sends the workings, the sight of the workings of the Lord in our lives, the enemy is supposed to tremble. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed. Can you imagine? And he whom you curse is cursed. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed. They departed with the diviner's fee in their hand and went to deliver the message of Balak to Balaam. And they delivered the message. And listen to verse 9. It says, then God came to Balaam. No, I want to read that aspect of verse 8. It says, and he said to them, listen to what Balaam says. And he said to them, lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you. As the Lord speaks to me, so the princes of Moab stay with Balaam. Brethren, when we find or we discover or we realize that there are oppositions, there are threats to what the Lord has spoken to us, to what the Lord has spoken to you concerning specific area, aspect of your life, what do you do? What do you do? Where do you go to? Whom do you run to? What are your actions? What are your behaviors? How many times have you heard from the Lord when there are oppositions or threats? Have you heard it from the Lord that the Lord is saying, oh, this thing, I'm the one that is reversing my word again. Is that what you hear? What do you hear? Do you even take time to go back to the one that has spoken, that has given you the word, and say, Father, this is what is happening. This thing that contradicts, negates the word that you have spoken unto me. And let me quickly move on. But the Lord spoke to Balaam. Verse 9. Then God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? Is that not what the Lord is saying to you? That who are these ones that are nothing? Who are these ones that are around your life? Who are these things? What are these things that are around your life? Are they of God? Those people that you run to, are they of God? Verse 10, so Balaam said to God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me, saying, look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of them. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them off. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. When God gives us a specific instruction, how do we run with it? Do we negotiate it? Do we try to use our own intelligence to say, oh, maybe God is trying to change his mind. God is not a man. And that is exactly what happened. That is what interests me, you know, when the Lord started speaking unto me in this passage. He's not a man. God told Balaam, do not go with them. You shall not go with them. Has God spoken to you? Don't take this action. Don't compromise my word. Don't go after this. What has been your response? Are you not saying, hey, God, you should understand. Hey, and you know God. And you know, Father, you know, I'm getting older. You know, all my mates, they have given birth to all the children they desire to have. Lord, I need to go extra mile. I need to look for a way out. Oh, God, you know, all my mates, they are already settled, this and that. Is that what you are saying? You shall not go with them. Maybe there's somebody that God is saying, you shall not go with them. You shall not take that action. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. Because of my time, I just want to bring out some things out. Let's go to verse 15. Then Balak again sent princes. After Balaam has already received the word of the Lord, you know, Balak, the enemy will not give up now. We always want to convince you. Except you yourself, you know what you are holding. And that is what we must do. We must know what you are holding. What are you holding? You must be convinced of the word that the Lord has spoken unto you. You must stand with that word. If you are not determined to stand with the word, the enemy will pull such a person down. Because we always bring so many things. At a time, he sent message to Balaam again and said, am I not able to lift you up? Am I not able to supply all, to give you silver and goods? We'll bring material things. We'll bring people that you think you are able to honor. He has strategy. And he said, verse 15, then Balak again sent princes more numerous and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus says Balak the son of this, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me. And listen to what Balaam said. Then Balaam answered and said to the servant of Balak, though Balak were to give me this and that, verse 19, now therefore, please, no, though Balak were to give me this, his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond. I love that. Have you reached a stage in your life that you propose in your heart, you resolve that you will not go beyond, you will not do less or more than what the Lord has spoken to you? You must reach that stage if you want to rejoice, if you want to continue to experience the faithfulness of the workings of the Lord over every issue in your life, over every issue around your life, over every issue in your family, over every issue concerning your destiny. If you want that word of the Lord to rejoice and to have fullness of joy, to experience the work of the Lord that are done in his faithfulness, we must all get to that stage, brethren. See that family, we must get to that stage that you resolve without anybody, without a pastor or a minister running after you in your closet. We must get to that stage when you resolve that I cannot go below it. I cannot afford to compromise the word of God because I know what the Lord has spoken unto me. And I know where he's taking me to. It is when you know that, when you have resolved to do that, that is when you'll be able to experience the faithfulness and the goodness of the Lord. And he says, now therefore, please, you also stay here tonight. And that is, it's grieved my heart. That verse 19, grieved my heart, grieved my spirit. He said, somebody that already resolved in his heart, somebody that the Lord has spoken, do not go with them. And said, verse 19 says, now therefore, please, you also stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. Ah. Are you seeing it with the way I'm seeing it? Are we together? Are we together? When the Lord has spoken to you, don't marry unbeliever. When the Lord has spoken to you, don't look for extra way of maybe you are waiting on the Lord for children. And there are some people, like I was sharing something with some people, I think 2 days ago, I said, look, some people just tell you there is a soup they can prepare for you and you will get, you know, you will conceive. You know? Or maybe you are looking for a job and they said go and get money to bribe. You know, I don't know the step. Or you are just about to do something and they are giving you a shortcut. And you know what the Lord has spoken to you, ab initio. And you now say, okay, I will go and see the face of God again. Hey! And that is what Balaam said. Okay, stay here, that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. And God came to Balaam at night and said, if the men come to call you, rise and go with them. At that time, do you know what I felt? I felt that permissive will. When we continue to mount pressure upon the Lord, we continue to weep as if that is the end of the life. God allow us to take to our own choices. And if not that, why I can say that one, why I'm convinced about that aspect, that the Lord just released Balaam. You have sought my face, I've spoken the word unto you, and yet you are still saying, Father, do I see? I want to hear more. What if the Lord still has some things to say to me on that choice that you want to make? When you know what the word of God says, you know the stand of the word of God concerning the step you want to take, and you are still saying, maybe I need to go back to him again. It's an error. And see what God did. He's a compassionate father. And verse 22. And the Bible says in verse 22, Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. And see verse 22, blah like that. And the Bible says, verse 22, say, then God's anger was aroused because he went. And God's anger was aroused because he went. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. It's a serious matter. God's wrath and anger against any permissive will. Run for your life. Because if you decide to choose to permissive will, God will be waiting for you at a junction. As he did to Balaam, he sent an adversary because he decided to choose his own way. Rebellion against God's instruction and what bring reproach and shame. If you read verse 24 of that passage, then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyard with a wall on the side and a wall on that side. And the donkey, you know, that's supposed to cooperate with Balaam started misbehaving. Pushing him to this side, pushing him to that side. May the Lord deliver you and I in the name of Jesus. Do not rebel against the word of the Lord, brethren. May the Lord cause your eyes of understanding to be open. God, because he loved Balaam, opened the mouth of the ass to speak that. Have I not been with you, my master? Why are you now beating me? Verse 31, then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. May the Lord open your eyes. May the Lord open my eyes. May the Lord open our eyes of understanding so that when the Lord is speaking to you and I, we will know that he doesn't want us to go beyond this. Except the Lord open your eyes, my brother and my sisters, we'll just be struggling. That action, that the decision that you are about to take, that you are on it, are you sure it's of God? Are you sure it's of God? Are you sure God is in it? As I round off this exhortation, verse 32, it says, and the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these 3 times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. Because your way is perverse before me. Are you sure your way is not perverse before the Lord? Are you sure your way is not the one that is raising opposition? Are you sure your choice, the step that you have taken, your behavior, your actions, are you sure they are not the one that are raising opposition at the junction of the life of the righteous? Are you sure your action is not the deliberate one? Nkan to ba wo Olorun ko lo se. Eleyi ti mo duro to. Eleyi ti mo na ti mo se wahala to. Is that your conclusion? Ta lo nbo Olorun ja? To nbori? Nobody. Run for your life. Run for your destiny. Do not play with your destiny. Do not play with your future. Turn away from your stubborn, hardened hearts. Holier than thou attitude. Nonchalant action and behavior to God's word. Stop religiosity. Stand with the word of God that he has spoken to your life and to your destiny. Stop routine of unacceptable and unreasonable decisions concerning your God, concerning your future. Stand with the Lord so that you will rejoice. And as I round up this passage, media, please, let's read Deuteronomy chapter 7, and I conclude. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Therefore, now, know. Therefore, Cedar family. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God. He's not a man. He is God. He's not a man. The faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. If we refuse to keep his commandments, he will stand at a junction waiting for somebody. May that one not be your portion and my portion in the name of Jesus. Can we go to verse 11 of that Deuteronomy chapter 7? Verse 11. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgment which I command you today to observe them. 12. Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to this judgment and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. Can we rise up on our feet? Can we rise up on our feet? Brethren, it is the word of the Lord, not the word of a man, not the word of Mrs. Awotoye, not the word of any of the pastors, not the word of any of the ministers. It is the word of the Lord. Can you open up yourself to the Lord this morning? Can you speak? It's like it's not dancing time. It's okay, we've danced. But we need to speak the truth to ourselves so that we'll be able to have fullness of joy. Can you open up yourself to the Lord at this time? Can you pray for grace to always want to seek him and hear the correct word and hear the right word from the Lord? Can you pray that the Lord will open your eyes to see and open your ears to hear God, to hear him correctly, to see the right thing, and not just to see, not to hear, but grace to obey what you have heard and what you have seen in the world. Grace to obey him at all times, whether it is pleasant now or it is not pleasant. It shall be pleasant. It shall be good. That is it. God said you will rejoice. You will rejoice, my sister. You will rejoice, my brother. It's only take a step for you to obey him. We have been told only the running up of worship is God that restores times and seasons. He restores times and seasons. Why are you looking for a shortcut? Why are you looking for a shortcut? Amend that perverse way of your life. Amend it this morning. Amend it this morning. Amend it this morning. Let heaven thunders against every veil. And that is the prayer I want you to pray now for yourself. Let heaven thunders against every form of veil that may be covering your eyes from seeing the right thing. Let heaven thunders against those things, those threats and oppositions, those strategies of the enemy that are trying to war against you from doing the will of the Father. Let heaven thunders. Let heaven thunders. Let heaven thunders against them, that you will do the will of the Father. In the name of Jesus.
I know he loves me better, whatsoever may be. I will follow him, follow him. I know he loves me better, whatsoever may be. I will follow him. Whatsoever may be, I will follow him. Follow
There are two prayers I want us to pray this morning before I round up. Number one is to pray that God will strengthen you and will open your eyes to see through whatever may be what the enemy is putting before you ahead of you. But that God will strengthen you to stand by Him and stand for Him uncompromisingly. Just take that prayer once. Just pray for yourself now. It's yourself. That God help me to stand for you uncompromisingly. Lord, open my spiritual eyes that I will see beyond the physical realm. And my eyes of understanding will enlighten with the knowledge of the truth. And I will have the comfort to stand by the truth. In the mighty name of Jesus. Man taliba. Seke po skaipa. Marun taila guske po skaipa. Lahiyanga tulimosko po skahilao. Reyoka skampa supo seke po saila guraba. Marundo kosko po shempeliga. Raanda kosko po shempeliga. In the mighty name of Jesus. Having prayed and taken the decision to stand uncompromisingly for the Lord, I want you to take this one prayer. When you look at that passage and you listen very carefully to that message, there was a grand conspiracy. Enemy without conniving with the enemy within to terminate the counsel and the purpose of God. To deceive the people of God and sidetrack the will of the Father. Balak, as we know, was the king of Egypt. As the king of Moab, rather. Balak was the king of Moab. So that was the enemy without. But Balaam was supposed to speak for the Lord. Balaam was supposed to speak the counsel of the Lord. Balaam was anointed to speak the word of the truth. But the enemy without came to connive with the enemy within to frustrate and truncate the counsel of the enemy or the counsel of God for the people of Israel. You are going to pray this morning. Every conspiracy of the devil involving the enemy without even connive with enemy within wherever they are, that this morning use the authority in the name of Jesus to destroy every conspiracy against your purpose, against your life, against your destiny. Can you just pray for 30 seconds and after I will run up. Maska papa, mas santa, overturn every conspiracy of the enemy against your life, against your destiny. Yes, ma katali mama, ma siteliba. And so the Bible says there's no enchantment against Jacob. Now is the idea of divination against Israel. That whatever God has not spoken or decree regarding your life, no matter what the enemy does, shall not come to pass. You could see that even Balaam tried to move ahead, to go ahead, to proceed with the evil agenda. But the Lord intervened. Ask for divine intervention. Regarding any conspiracy over your life today, over your destiny, ask for divine intervention that the Lord will intervene on your behalf. In the mighty name of Jesus. Me setulima yerumama kaskantalaba raantalibaba rekekeke sepopo simpoliga raanda kuske popo simpoligo Brusaka Talibaba, Rakakaka Santa Laba. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Kusagbara. So dabiti Jesu. Kusagbara. So dabiti Baba. Kusagbara. Abara, 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 Abara,
sorupo
oh sorupo
o sorupo to dabi ti baba
Heavenly Father, the Bible says you are giving him a name. That name, Jesus Christ. Bible says a name that's above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus is the Lord. In that name that's above every other name. This morning, whatever the enemy has spoken into the ears, into the firmament, in groves, in shrines, in meetings, whatever the enemy has spoken, contrary to your cancer, into the lives and concerning the lives of these people this morning, I anoint it in the mighty name of Jesus. Every conspiracy of the enemy, wherever they may be hatched against your purpose and counsel for your people, this morning I stand upon the rock of ages, Lord, leaning upon the throne of mercy, and I cancel it in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every plan of the enemy to the fact that your people will not enter into your purpose for them, Lord, today I scatter it in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Is there anyone that's been blindfolded by the devices of the enemy? Let every veil, every wool that the enemy has put to cover the spiritual eyes of anyone this morning to be taken off in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, help your people, help us to stand uncompromisingly for you.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you for your servant that you have used for us today. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus for more grace. We pray for more anointing. We pray for more inspiration. We pray for fulfillment of purpose to guide your whole life in the mighty name of Jesus. We destroy the conspiracy of the enemy, whatever may be, against her or the home or the family, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. Lord, bless your name. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Let us put our hands together for the Lord.